Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, gentlemen, NYC Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Pod. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast from a rooftop penthouse apartment in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York State. With me, Tim, with JB.
The body that used to encase JB is now here.
And Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Right, so we should get... Let's hear a bit more music. We should get excuses in early. This is going to be a short podcast.
Thank goodness, Tim. Thank goodness. I'm not sure we could last a full hour and 10, hour and 15, what we normally do.
And I think we'll put out, a full one on Tuesday?
Yeah. Look, so this is an advanced thank you for being patient with us, for being understanding, and for waiting for the full Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. But we didn't want to disappoint. We wanted to make sure you had something early in the week. And so we're giving you something. We're giving you all we can muster.
So imagine your Monday commute when you're probably listening to this. We will be waking up in NYC. We've had a couple of beers today. Not too many, but a couple of beers today. So when you're doing your commute, just think of us struggling.
I like to think that what we've been through over these past 4 days together is... I just think of those Living with Lions DVDs. And you think of the speeches. Willie John McBride's saying to Paul O'Connell and the rest of the troops... There'll be a days in the future, and Ian McGeoch can say, when you look, you'll walk down the street and you'll look into the eyes of another guy, and you'll know, no words will need to be spoken, but you'll know what you've been through.
Great men do great things.
it's been a tough shift, Tim. It's been a tough few days working over here, but I'm glad we put the hours in, and we're going to reap the rewards.
Well, why don't we talk briefly about the London Irish game, and we can do everything else on Tuesday.
Yes, I mean, we can talk briefly about England-Wales as well, because those are the two games we've actually seen. Oh, we did see Scotland-France as well. Phil and I kind of dozed, stupefied, slightly hungover through Scotland-France as well, and fantastic win there. But yeah, the two games we've really seen are the live one that we saw, yep, which was London Irish against Saracens, and we got up very early US time to go and spend a fantastic morning in New Jersey with Bayonne Rugby Club watching England v Wales.
If I ever move to New York, which is about 50-50 at the moment... Well, no, not that move that I don't go home. Bayonne Rugby Club would be my club of choice.
Yeah. If you live in New York, if you've visited New York, if you've ever been to or ever going to go to New York, meet up with the Bayonne Rugby Boys. They are brilliant. They were great fun. They looked after us. We had a superb time. Slightly helped by the result. But... At the end, I think JB was a little bit more excited than we were because of the way the game went.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right.
We'll get onto the game in a second, but I think, just broadly speaking, the one takeaway I would take from the whole US excursion, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast on tour in NYC, which I hope becomes an annual event for the Aviva Premiership, I really do, because I would recommend anybody comes over to this place. It's incredible. But the one thing that I would take away is, above all else, the culture... Which is a was a dirty word through the World Cup for the Egg Chasers podcast, wasn't it, JB?
No, culture's a destination, not a journey. Yep.
But the culture of rugby union is alive and well on the other side of the Atlantic, and it doesn't matter whether they're American, and we've met people from Atlanta, Georgia, and we've been out drinking with them.
Yeah, the American Rugby Podcast guys. We've met the media manager for United States Rugby, Matt
McCarthy.
Matt McCarthy, thank you. Just a phenomenal rugby scene here.
And it's exactly as you would expect from any rugby club up and down the UK. Rugby, doesn't matter how much you drink, you'll be lovers, not fighters, and you'll have a great time, and we have.
Well, it was Darren from Bayonne Rugby Club who really looked after us. Really good time with them. He said it's, to kind of coin an American phrase, it's the biggest frat house in the world. Because wherever you go, if you've got rugby in common, you'll have a good time.
Right.
I've just shed a solitary tear right there.
Enough of how these boys have been playing. Let's talk about letting the boys play in internationally, England-Wales.
Yeah, let's talk that. Oh my God, I love this game so much. Well, let me just rewind slightly. So I had the most amazing 60 minutes of rugby standing with JB watching England-Wales.
I had one of the most amazing about 40 minutes of rugby, because this game went exactly as I thought it might do. I predicted Wales to lose, and they duly lost. But I had no idea how proud I would be of those Welsh boys after 80 minutes. And like I was saying to both of you, it's like having a child. You don't necessarily want it to win all the time, you just want it to make you proud. And you couldn't be more proud of these warriors. They don't give in, they never stop.
But for the first 40 minutes, you were not a proud man.
No, what I said is the game was a series of very small battles. I don't think England were much better than Wales. I don't think Wales were much worse than England.
What game were you watching?
No. First 40 was...
But
was
they lost. All,
the battles, England, yeah. The mini battles.
Exactly
England
right. All the miniature battles went to England, and that's what accumulated all these points. So it wasn't the one team running away versus the other.
Well, that's rugby. Well, that's how it's done. Clive Woodward says the World Cup was won with the little 1%.
I don't disagree with him, but if you were getting an absolute hammering and you were missing your tackles and you're doing all that sort of stuff, clean line breaks, etc., etc., well then that's a problem. This what happened to Wales first off wasn't really a problem. They just need to improve everything they did by about 5%, and second half that's exactly what they did.
They did in the second half, but particularly towards the end, the yellow card massively helped. But the yellow card was born out of pressure from Wales, and it was from them, that towards the end of the second half, they started doing the basics correctly, and they started winning those mini battles. So if you look at it over the course of the whole game, it was a lot more even and a lot more representative of the overall score.
Oh, and do you know what else they did? What Wales did, because they had to. Because they lost their effort at the arm wrestle.
Tim.
They had to try something and do what I've been saying for the whole of this Six Nations tournament, which is let the boys play, to coin a JB phrase, unfurl the leash and let them go.
Okay, so...
Because Wales have frustrated me in their opening three games.
Wales are a magnificent team. And the key word here is team. Well, the way that they play, they are a greater team than the sum of their parts. So you need to... Oh, what was that?
It's fine.
Keep going.
So what you need to appreciate is that there is no other way to play. And this is why it's so impressive. You're 16 points down or 19 points down or whatever it was, and they still did the same things over and over again until they pressure that yellow card, and then they can open up. They are a very smart team, but more importantly, they're very disciplined, and the most important thing in all of rugby, you've got to buy into it, and they buy into it 100%. England were the better team, and all credit to them, and the brilliant leadership from Hartley. I think Jones has turned it around magnificently, but Wales made me very, very proud.
It's interesting, Tim. One of the things you've been saying in the Six Nations is that you don't feel like the Northern Hemisphere teams have progressed from where they were in the World Cup. And this is perhaps a good example of how Wales have progressed from where they were in the World Cup. Because against Australia lost two men to the bin, and Wales just kept on playing one out
rugby.
Like dull, basic, like no intelligence at all. Whereas when England lost Dan Cole, who is not an expansive, he's not fast. There's no pace there. He doesn't add much to the defensive line in any respects apart from in the tight. But Wales did identify the space and they utilised that space. And if you can compare the two things and see how Wales have progressed from that Australia game, this is perhaps a good example of them learning and then progressing.
What I would maybe argue, God, we're, our voices are ropey. Well, I've got to do the announcing for Man City v Dynamo Kiev on Tuesday night.
good luck.
Sergio, goal scored by Sergio Aguero. No, what I would potentially argue is actually that's a really fair and reasoned point that Phil makes. However, what I would say is that that wasn't any sort of plan. That is because they were in such a dire situation. They had to dig themselves out of a 19-0 deficit. Yeah. It was like they had no other choice. And actually, they've done the right thing because they had to completely throw what Gatlin wanted them to do out the window.
No. So, if Dan Cole stays on the field...
you think that was Gatlin's plan? Let's try and get Dan Cole in the bin.
No, I don't think
with
it is.
8 minutes to go.
If Dan Cole stays on the field, England win by a significantly bigger margin. Significantly. Dan Cole goes off. Wales can then adapt. The strategy Wales used for the first 70 minutes was exactly the right one. Even though they weren't winning, exactly the right one. Because there's no other way to play. The facts of the matter are England are better than Wales in that 70 minutes. You've got to give the England players credit. You can't just say it comes down to Wales not being able to win rugby games. There are two teams involved. England did very, very well, and you're overlooking that.
I think we should explore this further in a full podcast.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have the mental capacity.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I just need to do so right now.
Can we just talk about one other thing in the Wales game? Maybe the funniest use of the TML I have ever seen, ever. So, we've got a situation where there is a legal... Okay, let me ask the first question. Was there illegal contact with the eyes?
There was contact with the eye region.
Was it reckless? Did you think it was...
It was inconsequential. It was completely accidental.
Oh, yeah.
It was reckless... But it was accidental. I don't think it was deliberate. But it was reckless, definitely reckless, because he has made contact with the eyes, and you can't do anything. Like, if you're making contact with the eyes, that is reckless and that is dangerous.
Can you stop accidents happening?
I don't know. I don't think Tom Francis is a serial eye gouger, because I think we'd all know about it. You know, it's not something which you just decide to do in the heat of the moment in an international match when you're about to get back into it. Okay,
but is he a rugby player? That's the other big question about Tom Francis. No.
This is where it... that's quite true. this is the big deal for me, which is if you decide, as a referee, as an official, contact has been made with the eyes, illegal or illegally, that player has got to be sent off. It isn't ifs or buts or, oh, it was only a minor gouge. They've got to go.
I do see similarities with Mike Brown and the boot in a ruck. I see direct similarities with this.
That's not bad.
And with Mike Brown, I said, clearly his intention was to positively affect the outcome and no negative intentions, so let the boys play. But I kind of go, we've got to let this stuff slide. I think it was a great example in the Scotland game of a referee doing just that.
The Laidlaw pullback on the six coming through for the Duncan Taylor. A great, very good, quick thinking, beats Vekarawa and gasses it in. And the Laidlaw, like, it was a hand on a shirt. And yes, there was contact with the shirt.
Hang on.
But it wasn't it wasn't a penalty. It did not materially affect the outcome of that try, so it should be a try.
Let me just get back to the video ref decision. Sorry, I think let's get over it. Okay. So we've gone through, is it dirty, is it not dirty, so on and so forth. Let's talk about the video ref officiating here. What was the question?
I think I was about five or six Guinnesses deep. I have no recollection.
I'm not sure what the question was, right?
It doesn't matter. The question doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because what we had is Alex Cuthbert, the athletic, lean Alex Cuthbert, lying down. You can see his face clearly. You can see the very lean, very small, again, athletic scrum half, Gareth Davis, also in that ruck area.
Yep. Lean athletic, I'd describe him like that, yeah.
And there was one other guy who was Thomas Francis. So when the referee comes up and says, okay, we need to have a talk now, and it's unclear whose hands have been near someone's face. Why wasn't the question, was there tomato sauce on his fingers? Did you see any pasties underneath his sausage hands? It is not Cuthbert's hand. It is not Davis's hand. You've got the Michelin man reaching over, messing around with his nose. Wow. The worst use ever of the TMO. I could have told you that, and I've got no background in investigations whatsoever.
Oh, dear.
So, England were incredible. And let's just take a moment to mention our prize-winning Marrow. Oh, what a game. What a game. He was superb right from the start. 10 minutes in, and Wales have a line-out on England's 22. They go to the back ball.
Oh, that was so
one of the most difficult ones to defend. And Marrow reads it, gets up, and deflects it down. Oh, and that was kind of indicative of the way he played throughout the whole game. He was just disruptive and difficult to play. In the first 40 minutes, the way he and the rest of the England pack made it so difficult for the Welsh set piece. So the Welsh set piece, the scrums, the lineouts, and the breakdown was superb.
Yeah, I'm a big believer now. I was kind of indifferent. I was thinking, is this too much hype? Now, I've seen it, and I fully am bought into Morrow being a very, very good second row, and he's going to develop into a world-class one.
21.
Yeah. Oh, it's frightening.
Well, the example that Phil gave about that back ball steal. I mean, yes, you've got lifters who are helping him out, but that's really technically difficult. If your throw is good enough to get to the back ball, that should be one of the hardest balls to steal. Fantastic.
The intelligence, he just arrives in the right place, right time, does the right thing, makes the right decision.
I don't even think that was the most... here's the thing. That wasn't his most impressive contribution. You know, getting over the ball, the jackal when the Welsh are pressing forward in the England 22. Two hits on a very, very quick and very good scrum half. He's a very...
A runner, he hits Dan Lydiot and then makes a couple of yards after contact. He's just... What a specimen.
Couldn't agree more. I think he's a marvellous player. And I suppose most Saracens fans would tell you this anyway.
And what we want to make sure we do is... I know The Guardian have referred to prize-winning Marrow.
Let them have it. It's a small victory. It's a small victory.
Well, you know what? I look at it like this. I'm not trying to say we came up with that, because actually...
No, we didn't. One of our Twitter followers did.
Yeah, well, one of our listeners did. But we know we are we have the most informed, entertaining... educated, smart, fun rugby audiences anywhere.
Yeah.
We know this.
Agreed.
So one of our listeners came up with the phrase prize-winning Marrow, but it's now being adopted by the Guardian newspaper, and it will become a big thing. I think prize-winning Marrow is going to be a phrase which is stolen, but all I'd say is some lead, some follow.
Let's just celebrate our position as thought leaders.
And Martin Bayfield retweeted, not even retweeted, it was his own tweet recognising the prize-winning Marrow.
There you go. Yeah. Right, London Irish.
London Irish. I think one mention should go. We should go straight from England to a guy that was left on the sidelines for England and had a superb game, Alex Goode.
Oh, he is such a good player. We were watching the game with two American journalists, and you just have to point out... Alex Goode as an excellent example of what a skillful rugby player looks like. He is. I've been singing his praises for a long time. You guys like Mike Brown. I love Alex Goode. I think he's a phenomenal rugby player.
I like Alex Goode. I really like Alex Goode. And the way he played, the way he's utilised in Saracens as that kind of second receiver, the second pivot, does a lot of the kicking, takes a lot of the pressure off the 10, is brilliant. Going back to the England-Wales, I thought Mike Brown was absolutely
exceptional.
He was fantastic the whole game. And I don't think you would have got the same in that scenario of Alex Goode. They're different players, and I'm quite glad that Brown is picked for England. But Goode is a very, very adequate replacement.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things which I saw from Red Bull Stadium. Game-related now. First of all, I think Jackson Rae is a lot better player in real life when you watch him than on TV. Jackson Rae is one of those guys who I've had a bit of a pop out at the past, just because it's fairly funny. He scores 8 or 9 hat tricks a season, all during LV Cup time. Right?
Is Jackson Rae? Is he an 8?
I think he is.
I think Saracens next season they need to sign a proper alternative 8 to Billy.
No, I disagree. I think he's a very good ball carrier, and that's one of the things which surprised me most. Looking at his footwork, the way he carries the ball, very, very, very impressive.
Let's talk about another guy in that back row.
Go on.
It almost brings a tear to my eye when I think about it. So after the game, we had a chat in the tunnel with a certain Mr. Jacques Berger, and I said to him, Jacques, that's another one gone. How many games left?
Yeah, you literally asked him exactly the same question that I just finished asking him.
Oh, really? Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I just watched him put everything out there. Much like, you know, we entered the big city of New York. We entered the Big Apple. We put our bodies on the line. We did everything we could. We've been 100%ers.
We are very, very similar to Jack Berger in terms of effort that we put into our podcasting. Jack Berger...
Well, we wanted to soak up the entire city. We've experienced everything it's got to offer. We've lost our voices, just like Jack Berger pays no regard for his personal welfare and safety while he's on a rugby field.
Let me just say this, okay? If you love 15 men that put everything in into the cause and are disciplined and do their jobs, you'll love Wales. If you like that embodied in one man, you will love Jack Berger.
But he's going to be gone soon.
It's a shame. It's a shame. Do you know what? Let's just celebrate the remaining games that we're going to watch him.
But he was very lovely to us, and he's now our little Twitter banner at Rugby Podcast.
Can I just say this? From a kind of... From our point of view, where we talk about rugby players all the time, and you are removed, you know, because you don't really know the lads, you watch them on TV, all the rest of it. It gets increasingly harder to make jokes about certain individuals, because every one of them that we've met this weekend has been courteous to the utmost, all tremendous lads. Which is going to be, for instance, it's going to be very hard for me to make any more Tom Court jokes.
Oh, Tom, listen out to the full podcast, because we have Tom Court, we have Luke Narroway of London Irish, we also have Saracens representative, former player Hugh Vivian, who was so much fun.
Yes, and we've got a game for you as well, which you'll hear on the full podcast, which is Knowing Me, Knowing Hugh. Aha.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.